Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las...
Podcast.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. This is episode number 243, recorded from the De Fauntleroy Studios in Westerly, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Mike?
Good evening, Mr. Klinsman.
What's happening?
Nothing.
World Series in the midst of it right now?
Yes, sir.
Things are looking good if you're a Boston Red Sox fan?
Yes, sir.
And in other good news, we're joined by Mike from Michigan. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
And I imagine you guys are doing pretty good. I saw most of game one and a little bit of game two, so I'd imagine you guys are doing real well.
It's killing me.
It is awful, isn't it?
It's the games are so long. And I mean, I'm up at 5:30. These games ending at 11:30 midnight. It's killing me.
And you hang on every pitch.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
It's stressful. I mean, the game the other day that against Houston that finished at like 1:15, that was unbelievable. Like, that shouldn't
happen.
What's killing me is
I was watching the game the other day, and a third of the Red Sox starters were Tigers, you know, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And now we're just awful.
And so was their general manager.
Yep, yeah.
And J.D. Martinez.
Yeah. He's the big one.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know you had mentioned this morning, Mike, that you had some rants you had to do, but we'll get to that shortly, right?
Okay.
Or are you ready to go? You fire?
No, we can get to it shortly. We can get over our pleasantries first.
So the other thing I was going to say is I already forgot from last time you were on. It's no longer Diamonddale. Where are the studios now?
It's Mason, Michigan now.
Oh, Mason. That sounds
better.
Yeah, Mason.
I like it better.
The Mason Studios.
Yeah.
Did the old house get gobbled up off the market yet? What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. It actually...
Moved quick, right?
Yeah, really quick. We listed it, and within the first 24 hours that it was listed, we had 7 offers.
Oh, that's good.
All of them were over asking except for one, so we did pretty well.
That's good.
Yeah, it was great. Good. I couldn't ask for it to go any smoother, really.
Good time to sell a house right now.
It is. It is a good time to sell a house.
At least for now. We'll see. What are your thoughts? Are you going to sell your house, Bill?
No.
How's the pool coming along?
My next door neighbor calls it an arms race because both of his next door neighbors are putting in a pool and we both started at the same time.
Different companies?
Different companies, yeah. Oh, so he's been watching it back and forth. He's calling it an arms race.
Who's leading right now?
Well, it's funny because he started a week before me, and then he fell behind by a week because they put together the pool the same process.
Right.
So we had our pavers put in a week ago, and he just had his pavers put in yesterday, but they did his lanai today.
Oh, so he's...
His
really
lanai
coming
is
along.
Done. Now, our pool company, they wait, they said 2 to 3 weeks to put the lanai on, and I'm assuming that they're waiting for the pavers to make sure that they settle.
Oh, okay.
Because I think if they start sinking in, it's got to be more of a pain to have to get back in there and redo the pavers when you already have the lanai in.
So if they put the lanai up, that means like basically everything in the pool part is done, right? You're just letting it cure at this point?
Yeah, so the curing process doesn't take long. So once the lanai's up, basically they just finish with the plumbing, and then they have you have to be home for the electrician because he has to have access to
inside
your electrical
and
panel
yeah.
and inside and all that stuff. So I'm thinking about still a month away, and he's probably two weeks out. So
you're gonna have to hang out in his pool for a couple weeks in the meantime.
Perhaps.
Are you gonna show up with, like, in the Speedo with the floaty around your waist?
Yeah,
six
yeah,
pack
yeah,
of beer, like, hey,
yeah.
You got
make
the
sure I get
them on.
With the rings, the yeah. beer rings.
I mean, is that really even a question? I mean, what else would he show up to a swimming pool?
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And you don't go through the front door. You just show up in the back. You just walk through your neighbor's yard.
Yeah, at this point, you're already...
Just dragging your cooler and just walk right through the... right through into Lanai.
Just bang on the Lanai. They're going to have to put a lock on that thing for you.
Yeah.
That's good, because I haven't seen any updates yet, like any pictures since... Because it kind of it comes all at once, and then it goes like in little bits and bits. Slower,
yeah, it does, yeah. Yep.
You're going to get very excited when that Lanai goes up, aren't you?
It really looks good. I'm going to have to take a picture of the guy's Lanai, because it's just... It looks done. His looks done right now. Mm-hmm.
So he's just waiting basically to get everything hooked up and then fill it up.
Yep. Oh, man. Yep. They still have to pour the... I forget what they call what they put in at the bottom.
Oh, right. You were saying something about that. Very cool. I'm excited for you. It's a good time. Now, what about the kitchen? Who's doing that?
We haven't settled on that yet.
Okay, so you're still kind of... That doesn't have to be done for the
pool to
be finished.
No, because
I got to
get the landscaping done pretty much ASAP.
Right, makes sense. And get that TV mounted and the sound system in there and everything.
Yep. It's just...
Now, is that going to be like your own project, or are you going to bring someone in for that as well?
I might bring somebody in. My cousin's very well versed at doing that, so he can probably mount it, but I'd like to look into some background, whether or not I'm going to do...
like a surround sound or
like
something.
Like Bluetooth or something, yeah.
Yeah, you got to do
what,
that.
What all are you going to put in for the kitchen?
Well, I got a pipe. I got the outdoor lanai already piped in for cold water, and it's got electricity, so I can put a sink, a gas grill. We can't do a sink and a refrigerator. We don't have the room for that.
Oh, man.
So we're
I was going to say, you can get like a Yeti cooler and use that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What about like a under the cabinet, like one of those small ones?
Yeah, it won't fit because that's where the sink we're going to do a sink. And the gas grill underneath the cabinet will have the propane.
Obviously, yeah.
This is going to be a big change for you going to a gas grill though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a charcoal guy.
Are you going to keep the charcoal one for like outside
the tried and true things? It's falling apart. I've had it since I lived in Minnesota, so I might maybe get something a little smaller.
Yeah,
just one of the classic Webers.
That's what I have right now. I have a nice Weber, but it has like an area where you can prepare foods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yep.
But I was telling Gary, me and the wife were going back and forth because she wants a refrigerator, but we've already got the outdoor plumbing for the sink, and I think it's more important to have a sink, especially if you're going to be preparing foods.
Right.
I think that's nice to have.
And you can always drag a cooler out.
Right.
For the drinks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you come out for a week in the summer and the kids come over, we can always just load up a cooler with burgers and hot dogs and all that stuff just so we don't have to go into the house when we're dripping wet.
Yeah, and it's also, like, 10 steps away if you really needed to.
Right. But it's not like we're walking on carpeting. We got tile, so.
Right.
If you get a little water on a tile, you're still going to be okay.
Boo. Boo. All right, with that being said, so far the World Series has been going pretty good for us. As we speak, they're up 2-0, heading to Los Angeles, travel day today. That's why we're recording today. Mm-hmm. But you have an issue with something in the presentation by Fox, so why don't you get into that? You have the floor.
Joe Buck is just such a tool, and I always, always, always hated the haters because they would just get on him. And I've thought some World Series he's done a good job, but this guy is a complete toolbox. Just an outright clown. Did you hear the other night when he said that he got a text from Bruce Springsteen? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear you. You just broke up for a second. But about the Bruce Springsteen thing? Is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, he got a text from his buddy Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And he's just, he's such a celebrity.
Oh, I know.
I mean, he knows all the A-listers and...
Mm-hmm.
Games and then the other part, when they showed the Prudential building and it said, go Sox.
Yeah.
And he not once, but twice. Okay, Mildred, make sure you turn the lights on before you go to work. Right. But he didn't leave it there. Okay, Steve, make sure you leave the lights on before you head out. He's just a clown, isn't he?
Yeah, he has not been having a good series.
And then everything's so dramatic. You hit a ball to like... 10 feet behind before the warning, there's a drive. And like, it's like, oh my God, he's just, I don't know. Like, he's almost like that kid that you feel bad for in school. Right. But then you look and it's like, but this is Joe Buck.
And he's bringing it on himself. It's not like he's this like you know, he's been doing it for how long has he been doing the World Series? 20 years now, probably?
Oh, forever, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not like this is his first rodeo and he's just overexcited. He's just kind of extra douchey this year.
I don't understand how he has this job, though.
Because his dad was Jack Buck.
I know who his dad was, but seriously, that's how he got the job. He's not a good announcer, is he?
He's okay. He's safe.
Announcer. Smoltz is doing a fantastic job.
Smoltz is okay. He's a little dry. Like, he's not doing a bad job, but he's a little dry, which
I think is fine for a national audience.
Which is true, but I think that's why I think Buck's trying too hard to fill in the gaps where Smoltz could be saying and adding something, and he's a little trigger shy. I think Buck's trying to fill in a lot of the dead space, which there's a lot of dead space in these games. It's about a minute and a half between every pitch, it seems like.
No, it's awful.
But other than that, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to defend Buck, but I think he's trying a little too hard to fill in the gaps where Smoltz is just not adding it.
Kind of like when I check out and I'm watching TV.
Yeah, but when Smoltz does talk, he adds a lot of good, nuts and bolts commentary. Like, he's good with that, but he's not like the Remy kind of guy. Or the Eckersley guy that's going to goof off and be silly.
I love Eck.
He would be amazing on a national broadcast. I think people would get into that.
I think he has done color, but he tones it down too.
Yeah, he does for the playoffs a little bit.
He doesn't do the cheese and the cheese with hair on it. I mean, I love all that stuff, don't you?
That's fun, yeah.
The cheese with the hair on it, that's even better.
Yeah. He'd probably like hanging out with us.
Oh, Eck would be great.
Although he doesn't drink, right?
No, I don't think so. Because
I think he was an alcoholic.
Right? I think he went hard back when he was younger. Just looking at his baseball cards, you knew that he did some things that you and I have never even heard of.
So you're saying he probably wouldn't have been up till like 3 o'clock in the morning at All-Star movies with you?
No, probably not.
That was a big mistake.
He would have hit the hay early.
Maybe. That's definitely something I regret. That next day wasn't the best day in Disney
World, I feel responsible too. I should have taken the lead. The older cousin, I should have taken the lead.
You should have tucked you into bed
at 9:30.
I felt good. Like, we weren't like stumbling over each other or anything.
All right, Gary, you get a good night's sleep. I'll leave the Stacy channel on for you. We'll see you in the morning.
I mean, it was left on regardless. Night on
for you were drinking Yinglings, weren't you?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. How did we get Budweiser's when there was Yinglings in Florida? How do we end up with Budweiser's?
I like both. I like Budweiser. I'm just not a fan of Bud Light. Budweiser's good. Yingling's good. But, we just stopped. Yingling. You know what we did, which is a pro tip, which we can talk about in another episode, but after we left golf on, what was it, Monday, right? We stopped at that gas station right inside the Magic Kingdom. Is it a Speedway? Yeah.
That Speedway, yeah.
And they have Dunkin' Donuts coffee in there, which was good.
And iced coffee.
Yeah, iced coffee. Mm-hmm. Self-serve, which is a little weird, but still. So they had the Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee, but they have a whole beer cooler. You know, so we got our 12 packs of beer and got some snacks after the round, got some iced coffees. We were good to go.
Got some roller grill items, some tornadoes.
Is that, yeah. No, some I didn't get any of that. I did not get any of those.
Nothing.
That would have made my nice a lot. Well, again, we can get into that, some of the things that were done at the All-Star movies that made me have a bad next day. I think I'm not going to blame the Yinglings. I'm going to blame that chili cheese dog.
Oh, Jesus.
But we'll get
did have it.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
You had a chili cheese dog, but not from Speedway.
No, from the All-Star at like 11:58, a minute before they were closing. not a good decision. But what I do have a good decision is my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week, which is a Long Trail Unearthed Stout, it's called. And it says it's rooted in a labyrinth of roasted malts, a complex stout emerges, 7.9% alcohol by volume. So that's what I have this week. Big roasted flavors emerge. And they create this otherworldly stout. Long Trail out of Vermont. Yes, sir.
The wife's been got a six-pack of that Dunkin' Donuts beer.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram she posted. I made a comment.
Yeah, she doesn't like it, but she said she's got to keep drinking it because the Red Sox keep winning every time she has one. So
I'm surprised.
Sacrificing for the team.
I'm surprised she doesn't like it because she doesn't. She usually likes the stouts, or at least somewhat enjoys them, because she's had them a few times when I've hung out with you guys, and it's a pretty mild, generic one as far as it goes. So I'm surprised she doesn't like it. But yes, as long as they're winning, she has to keep going with it.
Yeah, she's definitely gonna have to.
That's also why I haven't been drinking during the games, because I haven't had any beers during any of the Red Sox playoff games, and they're doing pretty good. So
yeah, so you gotta refrain,
which is gonna be a little tougher tomorrow and Saturday right. when they play. But I'll do my part for the effort.
I think they're gonna get blown out tomorrow though, so then maybe you can change it up a little bit.
You think so with Porcello on the hill?
Yeah, that other kid, man. I watched that Game 7 in Milwaukee. He's got some lightning stuff.
Is he pitching Game 3? I thought he was pitching Game 4.
I think he's pitching Game 3.
Bueller. And they're going to save Rich Hill for Game 4?
Yes.
That's the plan? Interesting. I don't think they could be beat right now, the Red Sox. I think they're just on another level of just
they're so tough.
Getting every hit at the right time, and all the breaks are going their way, too.
They're so nails, aren't they?
All their guys are coming up in the right spots, but they're also getting every single break, which, you know, good teams get the best breaks. That's how it goes. But even that call with Betts, where they called it an out, the fan interference, which I think may have been the right call. That's a tough one.
I think that's a 50-50.
But, I mean, that's the kind of break you get on a run to a World Series. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Anything else you want to say about World Series or otherwise before we go to a break here?
No.
No. All right. We'll take a break, and we'll come back for the literal meat of the episode after this.
Eat steak, eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, eat steak, do we have one beer? Eat beef, 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 it's a mighty good food. It's a great day meal when I'm in the mood. Cowboys will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ate two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty mind. Eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, do we have one deer? Eat beef, 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 it's a mighty good food. It's a great A meal when I'm in the mood. Eat meat, filet mignon. Eat meat, eat it all day long. T-bones till you get your fill. Eat a New York cut hot off the grill. Eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, do we have one deer? Eat beef, 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 it's a mighty good food.
All right, we're back for break, episode 243 of the Por Favor podcast, and this week we're talking about something near and dear to all of our hearts, and that is Shula's Steakhouse. So last week we started our guys' weekend trip review, and we did that was the second part, right? Two weeks ago.
Yes,
so
yes,
last
Bill.
Week we got into our first round of golf, our old Key West arrival, all that kind of fun stuff, going to the pool. And we left off right before we hopped in a lift to go to Shula's Steakhouse. Is that correct?
I think that's correct.
Okay. Now, since we have Mike from Michigan on the line with us, and he's into the technology, you were very impressed with the use of technology during this trip, weren't you, Bill?
Oh, you talking to me?
No, the other Bill.
Oh, okay. I'll let him answer then.
No, I'm talking to you.
Yes, Bill.
I remember. I remember you were very impressed with the lift experience. You'd never done that before, correct?
Correct.
And I actually hadn't either until this. And what about you? Have you ever done an Uber or Lyft, Mike, before this?
I have not. The first time that I used Lyft or Uber was on the way from the airport to our...
to the Clarion main gate?
Yeah, to the classy Clarion.
That was classy. So we were all new to this, basically. So we get over to the Dolphin. We take the lift, which I think was like $8 from Old Key West to the Dolphin, or $11 or something. It wasn't bad.
And it's so funny because I was being the cheapskate, and I'm like saying, let's take the bus over to Hollywood Studios and hoof it from there.
Right.
And Joe said, well, how much is a lift? And you were like, I don't know, $8 or $9. I mean, when you think of it, it is kind of silly not to do that.
Especially with four guys.
They wouldn't drop $800 on dinner, and I'm trying to save us all $1.75 on a lift.
Yeah, you told Joe $8 or $9, and he thought at first it was a piece, and he was still all about doing it. And then he was amazed when he found out it was like $8 total.
Yeah, and they picked us up right at the door of the room.
Yeah.
Which was nice. And we got there in no time. We got in. We couldn't find Shula's at first, right? Because you usually come in from like the ground floor, and we got dropped off at like the valet area.
Because the Dolphin is kind of like a mall where you walk in at two entrances and they seem like they're ground level, but they're not.
Right. But we were on the correct level for Shula's. We just had to kind of go around a corner and through a little dark hallway, and we got there.
How was our driver there? I don't recall the driver.
The guy on the way there, he had the minivan, not the MINNIE van, like the MINI van.
Yes.
And I don't think he spoke any English.
That's right, yes. I remember.
I tried to engage, and it ended real quickly.
Yeah, he just kept quiet, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that from the driver. If they're not able to converse, there's no point in faking it.
Yeah.
He just got us where we had to go, and no problem. He was perfectly fine. So we got there. Got into Shula's, checked in. We waited about, 5 minutes for our reservation time to come up. And we got seated. We did get a nice group picture right under the Shula's sign. That was very good. And we go in, and you had been there before, obviously, because you've talked about it. But it was my and Schaefer's first time. And my initial impressions were just like, it's a classic steakhouse. I mean, like, if you think of a steakhouse building it from the ground up, that's what you're thinking of. Just dark leather, dark woods, you know, wine cases, open kitchen. You could see the meat cart go. Like, every single thing about it is just, like, the cliche quintessential steakhouse. It just, like, felt like, you know, a perfect spot for a guy's golf weekend, like the perfect spot to have dinner. What were your first thoughts there?
Yeah, I agreed. I was really excited to get in there and try stuff. But yeah, I agree. It just seemed like the quintessential steakhouse, like you said. I think while we were waiting, we saw, you know, another group go back to be seated, and I think we were all a little bit excited when they brought out the football with the steak choices right on the football, like it's the menu, which was great.
That's a very cool touch, I think.
That is.
Yeah.
Now, if they sold that, a replica of that in the gift shop, would you buy that, Bill?
Yes, with all the cuts.
That would be amazing. I don't know why they don't, now that I think about it.
That would be so perfect. If it was like freaking menu on a football.
If it was like $30 for that, like on a legit like NFL football with the menu with the cuts on there.
And then just have a tee for it.
You know, exactly. Put it in your display case. That would
That'd be
fantastic.
Awesome.
You would buy it?
I would buy that. That's a great souvenir, isn't it?
I'm going to research that because that could be good Christmas presents.
That would be a great Christmas present, a Por Favor Christmas present. You know, some companies give out turkeys at Christmas. We give out footballs with a steak menu.
You know what would be the best is like giving that to like a loved one.
Oh, what?
And
you
like
don't
just
want
watching
it?
Oh, a face. Like give it to your in-laws, you know, and they kind of do the awkward smile and they're like, what the hell is this?
What's wrong with this guy?
I think it's a menu for a steakhouse on a football.
But wait, no, that doesn't make sense. It's on a football.
Football. That is fantastic. I would be thrilled if I got that for Christmas. I'd be like throwing it around, playing catch. Oh, can we go out in the yard and play?
I'm looking at pictures, and they've got like autographed plates, and
that's fantastic.
I remember seeing like some of the stuff that they had. They had like some cool memorabilia stuff, if I remember right.
Yeah, you could get like a shirt or a polo and things like that, but I didn't really look enough because I think we were still trying to make sure Joe made it through the night. A little cautious there. But so we get seated, and one of the first things that jumps out at me is what do we have? Two waiters? We had one guy come over and, so-and-so. I don't remember their names. I'm bad at that, but two gentlemen were helping us. Taking our drink orders, you know, making sure our waters were full, making sure our drinks were brought out, bringing out the bread, which, by the way, that bread, fantastic.
That might have been the best bread I've ever had.
A nice sourdough, a tangy sourdough. Nice hard crust, soft on the inside, airy, hot out of the oven with that butter. And you guys salted the butter, and Joey really got a kick out of that, didn't he?
Yeah,
he was baffled by that. Anytime we salted the butter that we were putting on our bread the whole trip.
And you introduced that to me. I'm a saltaholic, Mike, but I've never even tried that. But that was a good touch.
I loved it. It just
well, the thing is, though, a couple of the places at Disney, when they bring the bread service, they bring you the salt, the butter with like the sea salt on top already.
Right.
So it's not like it's a new thing or like just totally out of left field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have any qualms with that. But the bread service was good. We all got a cocktail. Or you had a beer, right, Schaefer?
I did have a beer.
What'd you get? Do you remember? I'm trying to think.
I was trying to look at the menu, but they did not have their beers. But
I want to say it was
an IPA, and it was
the 90-minute Dogfish Head, right?
Was it?
I think you got a Dogfish Head.
I thought it was a Michigan. I thought I had like something local to me, anyways. But it might have been the Dogfish Head. That does sound familiar.
For some reason, that's what's sticking out in my mind, the Dogfish Head. I went with the classic dirty martini with olives. And then Bill went with the classic blueberry martini, a very manly drink for our manly weekend.
And Susie was not happy about that decision.
No, because you would have never, ever got that if she hadn't tried it. And you right. tried it, right? And then Joe got, who knows what he got. He was...
I think he just broke out the coffee cup that he had.
Did he? Brought it with him, yeah.
Uber over to Shula's.
I thought he had a rum and coke, maybe.
That sounds right. I was going to say.
I think that's all he drank all weekend.
But that was, good drinks. Can't go wrong with that. And then we all got soup, which it's hard to turn down a lobster bisque. But I went with the French onion soup because I have to. That's definitely my favorite soup is French onion soup.
I went with the same.
And then the other two gentlemen had the bisque. And I think everyone was thrilled with their choice. The lobster bisque, I tried a scoopful of yours and it was very good.
It was good.
But that onion soup was fantastic.
Did
you get that the last time you came?
Cheese.
No, I don't think I did, Mr. Klinsman.
No. It's better than Grand Floridian Cafes, don't you think?
Yes.
It's probably the best onion soup I've had at Disney and the few places I've tried it, you know, four or five different places, but it was so good. I mean, the broth was rich, but it wasn't too salty. Occasionally, you'll get an onion soup where it's just over-salty and it kind of takes away from the flavor, but you got the real rich beef flavor. The onions were nice and tender, but not mushy. The bread and the cheese, it was just perfect. I think we were both scraping the cheese off the crock with our fingernails.
I think I was using a steak knife toward the end.
That's right. Because at one point, like they came over to clear it, and I was like, "No, I'm still picking the cheese off the edge," and they kind of like backed away.
Well, that was when you started nibbling at it like a bunny rabbit with your two front teeth.
Yeah, exactly. No cheese left behind. But that was good. But talk about the lobster bisque a little bit, because there were some big chunks of lobster meat in that, weren't there?
There was, and that was going to be the first thing that I said, was there was big chunks of lobster. I don't get lobster bisque a lot, especially being around here in Michigan, but that was one of the better ones that I've had. I enjoyed that a lot. I tried to get something, you know, somewhat light before my steak, and the bisque was a good choice, but I almost wish that I wouldn't have got anything at all because I left a little bit of my steak on the plate.
And I'm very happy that you did get something at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, because you had that for breakfast, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, the bisque, because I did try some, and then I've had lobster bisque where they put a little too much of the sherry in there or whatever the liquor is. And it kind of overwhelms it. You get that, like, wine flavor.
It totally does. It's funny you say that because I've had it where it's just a little too overpowering, and that's the only thing I can taste is the wine.
But that was not the case with this one. It was very creamy, and you could taste the lobster. Almost that, like, buttery sweet flavor, but not too buttery, not too salt. Again, not too salty. Just everything. It was very good. Both of those, and then the...
I was going to say, too, the thing is, too, you ever, I think the prices there are fine. It was $10 for the lobster bisque. A lot of times you get a lobster bisque and they put the token little piece of claw in there.
Right.
Like half of a claw and then that's it. And you're basically just drinking broth.
And it's like $22.
And it, yeah, I mean, for $10, I thought the portion was good. And
I think it's 13. It's according
to 13. Okay.
Yeah, the onion soup was 12, and the lobster bisque was 13.
I'm sorry, the enhancements were, I think, 10. We'll get into that in a minute, but yeah.
But both portions were very generous. The onion soup is a classic full crock of onion soup, not like a skimpy little one like at a fancy restaurant, like a full big size onion soup, and the lobster bisque came in one of those giant, like, shallow bowls that you get that can kind of look small, but it definitely wasn't. There was a lot of bisque there. What else were you going to say? Anything else you want to add about the soups, or should we move on to the main attractions here?
How were the cocktails? Let's get into that real quick.
The martini was fantastic. I mean, nothing crazy out of this world. I mean, it's hard to mess up or really go crazy with just a vodka martini. But
and what? No, did you get a dirty? I'm not.
Yes, dirty just means they put some of the olive juice in there, so it gets a little salty flavor. The olive. That's how I like it.
And you've always told me that you like to get martinis when you go to a steakhouse. Why is that?
I think just the salt gets your palate ready. You know, the vodka is a clean liquor. It doesn't have a lot of like. I imagine a lot of people like a whiskey or something like that, or a bourbon, whatever, or scotch, whatever those, like a darker liquor, you know, one of those like oaky, smoky kind of liquors with the steakhouse. But I like the clean flavor of the vodka and just the saltiness of it.
Okay.
It just kind of is a good opening course there. Plus, you can't go wrong with some olives. Gotta love I think they were the blue cheese stuffed olives came with it too, which was good.
Because mine was tasty as well. Yeah. I love that blueberry martini.
Not the thing I would consider getting with the steak, just because you could be afraid of it overpowering because it's so sweet and it has that blueberry flavor. But it actually wasn't super sweet, because you made me try a sip, and it wasn't like the sweetest thing. It was just got that, like, you know, you could taste the alcohol a little bit and you had the blueberry flavor, but it wasn't like sugary blueberry. It was just a nice, you know, nice blueberry flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely good. And then as far as the steaks, everyone, Joe didn't get a steak. I think he felt bad about ordering a steak because of the prices.
I do too. I told my wife that too.
I think he did too.
Because he went with a shrimp cocktail for his entree, which isn't a bad choice, because shrimp cocktail at a steakhouse is always a good choice.
Yeah, it ended up being a bad choice for him. Though.
Oh, I had to. I'm sorry. bet you kind of wishing you got the filet mignon, don't you, Pards?
Good one, Pards. So I went with the cowboy ribeye, I believe. No, I did not. I went with the porterhouse.
Good
yep.
Lord.
I was thinking T-bone, and I went to ribeye. Yeah, the porterhouse, which is 24-ounce porterhouse, $51. And it's the filet cut and the strip cut with the T-bone in it.
Now, let's back up a little bit, because one of the other things that I love is the presentation of how they bring the meats out. We didn't talk about that.
That's right. Go ahead. You're an expert at this, so go ahead.
Now, were you sold on your cut of meat prior, or was it nice to get a good visual? What were you thinking going in?
I was leaning towards the Kansas City Strip.
Okay.
Going in, or a New York strip, one of those two.
Okay.
Because I really like the strip. I'm not a huge filet guy on its own. Ribeye was a good choice because it's a nice big cut. But then I saw that porterhouse, and then, you know, he kind of reminded me, you get the strip cut, you get the filet, it's kind of like the best of both worlds. I was like, you know what, that sounds perfect. Sounds like a perfect thing to get for your first time at a steakhouse.
And I really think the filet on a porterhouse is good because it's connected to the bone, so you are getting a little marbling. Mm-hmm. And a little more flavor than you get from your traditional filet mignon.
Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. I'll skip ahead a little bit and say it was fantastic. Ordered it medium rare, as you do. And, I was very happy with my choice, but why don't you talk about what you guys ordered here?
Well, I went with 16-ounce, the New York strip, for $49. I was pretty sure that I was going to either get the strip or the ribeye. I decided when they brought the meats out that I was going to go with the strip. Mostly because I wasn't sure I was going to eat the whole ribeye with knowing that I was going to eat more before the steak actually came out. But I came with the strip, right. And I was pretty happy with it. Very happy with it, actually.
And then, Bill, you went with the tried and true, right?
I went with the cowboy ribeye. My first time, I went with the Kansas City strip, which I loved. And Susie went with the cowboy ribeye because she likes hers a little more well done.
Right.
And they explained the marbling and the bone and that the more you cook it, the more flavor was going to come out. And I had probably maybe a quarter of hers the next day, and it was so good out of the microwave. So I said, next time I go back to Shula's, I got to get the cowboy ribeye, and it didn't disappoint.
It lived up to it. So, and I'm correct in saying we all did medium rare, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I thought one of the other cool things was when they bring out the steaks, they bring out a flashlight, and they make you cut into the steaks to make sure that they're cooked to perfection.
Now, I want to talk about that, though.
Go
because
ahead.
I like that idea, and it. But when I cut into it and they shone the light on it, I thought it was overcooked.
So did I.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if it's just
maybe because our eyes weren't used to the light or whatever.
That's what I was wondering too. But once you actually got in there and started cutting and actually getting in there and eating, and maybe your eyes actually adjust to the light again to the dim lights, you could tell that all three of ours were perfectly cooked. They were right where it needed to be.
Beyond it was absolutely perfect. Like not even a hair over medium rare. It was on the rare side, which is what I want.
I always want mine a little under, as a little bit over, as I'm sure you guys do too.
Yeah, when you go to like a regular non-steakhouse restaurant, even if they have some expensive steaks, a lot of times medium rare is going to be closer to medium. And then you're almost like tempted to order it rare and hope you get it to the medium rare. But with Shula's, I wasn't really worried about that. But then they brought out the flashlight, and I was a little concerned because it almost looked like gray with the flashlight. And I was like, did they really mess this thing up? And then as soon as he took the light away and he went to yours, I was kind of looking at it, and it had that deeper red color. And you could kind of tell just by like pressing the knife into it that it wasn't tough like a well done or a medium well.
Right.
Just to let you know, I'm literally salivating right now
talking about this. Yeah,
I can feel it in the back of my throat. Nothing messes me up more than a fine steakhouse.
Don't you love that feel, like the springiness, like when you touch it and you know it's cooked right?
Yes.
Like when you cook on the grill, do you touch it so you can feel like how done it is?
Yeah, I typically
like
do.
Because you know that like rule, like you touch it on your inside of your hand and different spots on your hand is the doneness that it should be. Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like once he took the light away and actually like felt it, even just with the knife, I knew it wasn't overdone. But just
I'm talking to my buddies.
Got another guest on there. But I would have to say that there is, you know, if it's your first time going there and they bring the light over, just give it a second to let your eyes adjust or wait till after they're gone, because you may think that it's overdone. But I would say it's not, because I think I heard the miserable lady at the table behind us later.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about her.
I think she was complaining about it when they brought the light over, saying it looked like it was overdone.
Yeah, but that's right.
I think they even said the same thing to her, that sometimes under the light it looks overdone. So that would be my only piece of advice, someone going there for the first time. Just beware of the your eyes playing tricks on you with the flashlight.
It's almost like they shouldn't even bring the flashlight. You know what I mean? You've sat in there for that long, your eyes pretty much have adjusted.
Right.
I don't even think it helps to bring the flashlight.
It is classy, though.
It is.
I thought it is a cool touch.
So we should probably talk about the sides that we ordered as well, because those were equally fantastic. We went with the classic trio, right? We got the mac and cheese, the crab macaroni and cheese, there's the mashed potatoes with roasted garlic and butter, and the spinach.
Cream spinach.
The cream spinach, because you could get I'm trying to. Oh, the sauteed or
you can
cream.
Get sauteed or creamed, yeah.
And obviously, you go with the cream spinach. Good choice there. And
now, when you talk classic, I'm almost kicking myself because
of the asparagus, right?
No, well, that and look at the mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Kristen,
yeah.
I got the mushrooms, Bill.
They were
and they have
that.
Oh my god, they had like two or three different kinds, and they were amazing.
It's hard though because you look at these sides, and there's not a single one that I would say no to.
And the mushrooms, I don't know about you. If I do a steak sometimes, I like to just cut up some baby portabellas and saute them.
Right
with,
on there, yeah.
And saute them and just put them in. Mm-hmm. And when you get that side of mushrooms and you take a scoop and you let it sit in the steak sauce, in the steak juice.
That's not a bad thing. But I definitely wasn't unhappy with the choices because that crab mac and cheese.
That was
I could have eaten a big old bowl of that all by itself because that was fantastic.
You could just sit down and watch a college football game and have like a big old plate of that with like mashed potatoes, couldn't you?
Oh, the mashed potatoes were so good.
Weren't
just
they?
Perfect. Like, I don't know. Everything was good. And the spinach, probably of the three, the spinach was my least favorite, but it still might have been the best spinach I've ever had. That's
yeah,
how good the other things were.
When we ordered the spinach, I was like, Dad, I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff that I would have rather had for a side. But obviously, I was happy with the crab macaroni and cheese and the mashed potato choice. But I was very surprised by the spinach. I loved it. I thought
it was
great.
Good.
That was the crab mac and cheese was my favorite, but the spinach was actually close behind it.
Oh, really? Yeah, I liked the potatoes better than the spinach, but I liked all three a lot. Which goes to say, because like a place like this could just rely on the steaks and the entrees and not really put a ton of effort into the side dishes and just kind of mail them in. But you could tell that they did not do that at all. Like all the side dishes were expertly prepared, fair portions, good prices. Like you said before, you don't feel like you're getting ripped off at this place.
No.
I mean, it's expensive, but you don't feel like you're getting ripped off at all. Because if they could have thrown out that onion soup for 19 instead of 13 or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, they could do 18 per side instead of 10. And the steaks, you know, the steaks are what they are. They're expensive, but that's the main attraction. That's what you're paying for when you go
there. And you're getting a nice piece of meat.
Oh, yeah, of course. And again, expertly prepared. Like, I just want to take a second to talk about how good that steak was. Just, I don't know if they put anything special on it as far as like herbs and seasonings, but if it's, I think it's just salt and pepper, and then they probably saute it in a little bit of butter, or like baste it with butter. Mm-hmm. But it made like a nice little crust where just enough where you get a little bit of a crunch and the fat like caramelizes a little bit on the outside. But the inside was just soft and buttery and everything. It was just perfect. It was cooked perfectly, and it was just such good flavor, perfectly tender. And I was so happy with my cut because I had that strip, which I love. I ate the strip part first, and I just went to town on that. I love the strip. But then I had, like, the little piece of tenderloin, the filet, as my second course there. And it was just, you know, buttery, soft, and tender. Just perfect. Yeah, I can't go wrong with that. I was very happy with everything we had. And we barely touched the side. We did not need to get a single side, and we all would have been satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
The steak and the soup was enough, and that bread. I mean, we kind of went a little overboard on the bread at our table, I would say.
Because it was so damn good.
It was good.
I had one piece of bread, and I said to myself, all right, that's it. That was amazing. Even before we got there, I was like, I'm only going to have one piece of bread. I had one. I said, all right, that was great. And then I went back for more. And then I had
Well, we had him bring out another thing of bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, but that bread was so good. Like I said, that might have been some of the best bread I've ever had. I mean,
fantastic.
Yeah, I like bread as it is. But Mike, you're not even a real big bread guy, right?
No,
but you like that
except
a lot.
For at Disney.
Except for Disney, I love the bread service. I've never had a bad bread service there.
Now I will say that the bread. The bread was fantastic and. You could definitely fill up on the bread and pass on the sides, but the sides are so good, and they're good leftover. I mean, we can all attest to that, right?
Yes.
You had, what, that spinach and the mashed potatoes 3 or 4 days later, and it was still fantastic?
Yes, and it sat in Regano's cooler for 3 days. I had a little bit of Schaefer's steak, which was fantastic.
I ate that crab mac and cheese the next night at about 2:30 in the morning, I think, which was good. The other thing I will say about was the... I lost my train of thought talking about that mac and cheese really, really getting to me. Like you're talking about, it's messing me up. I don't remember what I was going to say about the sides, but if I think of it, I'll come back to it. But, anything you would have done differently? I mean, your cut, you were happy with the ribeye?
Yes.
Would you get that again over the Kansas City? Are you going to try a different, maybe?
I think next time I'm going to try something different.
Yeah. Maybe go.
I think I'm probably going to go with the porterhouse
next time.
You got to do that because you get the strip with it. That's basically a Kansas City plus a filet, so it's a good deal there. Yeah, definitely. Now we have to get to the main attraction of dinner, and this we're going to let Schaefer take over. Our good buddy, the host of the trip, Joe, was having a shrimp cocktail. He had a little bit of an issue. We kind of talked about it a couple weeks ago, but why don't you get into the whole. The whole
as you start laughing.
No. Oh, yeah, because we didn't joke about it at all the rest of the trip.
Well, we're all enjoying our steaks. Joe's enjoying his shrimp cocktail because, as he put it, he said, I'm not a fancy guy. You know, I usually just have like a burger or something like that. Anyhow, he ordered the shrimp cocktail. So there's three of us guys eating our steaks, and Joe's eating his shrimp cocktail.
And they had just come out. It's not like we were almost done. These were like 90% full of the steaks.
Yeah, he was maybe a shrimp in.
Right.
And that was it. I'm looking down at my steak, and all of a sudden I hear this like pounding. And I look over, and Joe's just beating on his chest. And I'm looking at him, and he's kind of got this look on his face. And I said,
like a panicked look.
Yeah, I said, yeah. You all right? And he kind of puts his hand up towards me and gives me a nod. And then he just keeps beating on his chest. I'm like,
now, meanwhile, I did move my steak. I did honestly move my steak because just I saw case, some things trickling out of his mouth. And they weren't going to be an enhancement on my $52 steak, so I moved it over toward Klinsman.
Yeah.
So again, I say to Joe, I said, Joe, are you all right? He kind of puts his hand up again. I said, do you need me? And then he kind of, you know, waved his hand over and got up. So, he gets up. I pull the chair out from him, and I start giving him the Heimlich. And it took a little while, didn't it? It was probably a good six times I had to.
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't like a lot of... It was probably a minute total of the whole ordeal, but it seemed like a long time.
Yeah, yeah,
like, probably. You see it on, like, TV and movies. You see, like, things pop out, like, the first heave-ho there, but it was it gave you a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, it did. It probably took a good six times or so before it came out, but...
I mean, the good news was he was talking a little bit, so you knew his airwaves weren't completely blocked, and he was at first.
He was at first, yeah. but then he wasn't. So
right, yeah. At that point, then you had to get him in there, and it came out. That's for sure.
It did. And, it did come out.
It didn't even create that big of a scene. I mean, a couple people. No one even clapped for you. That's kind of messed up, isn't it?
We didn't.
No,
I mean, crying out loud! You didn't even see. You just kept cutting into your damn steak.
Hey, you're the one who asked if he was going to finish his shrimp like a minute after.
I did.
You think he'll notice if I take one?
He was. He was a little bit hesitant to get back after the shrimp after that.
Well,
He did continue though. I will.
Yeah,
he
ended
up
finishing
that.
It off. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd even went back to it. But I just thought,
yeah, I
would have
ordered some cream of wheat.
Yeah,
calls it a night.
You know, I thought I still think that it's ironic that the three of us have steak, and the guy that orders shrimp cocktail is the one that chokes on it.
Chokes, yeah. But the good news was, as soon as everything was settled down, the waiter came over with a refill of his drink, and he was happy as a clam.
That's right, I forgot about that. Yeah,
you know, he came over, and everyone, you know, they checked on the waiters, checked on him, made sure he was okay, and he was fine at that point.
Yeah.
And he was joking about it after about 5 minutes, too. So
yeah,
it wasn't too bad. But it could, I mean, that could, if it was just me, Mike, and Joe, we might have been making arrangements for something
yes.
else. Yes. Well, I assume the waiters there are probably trained in that, but I don't know if we would have even had the wherewithal to call one over.
Yeah. The next morning, I mean, Joe was the first one to wake up, and he was making breakfast and everything, and then I was the next one to get up. And I got up. He says, "Hey, man, I just want to thank you again for last night." And I'm like, and I was just thinking, I'm like, what did we do last night? I was like, oh, no problem, man. I was like, you know, I kind of had, you know, can't just let you die. So yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
How many times have you performed that?
That's the first time I've ever done the Heimlich maneuver.
Oh, wow. So you're trained in it, and you're my God, I hope I can hit these free throws pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first time I've ever had to do it. I've had to, you know, give back blows to, you know, to babies and stuff, but that's the first time I've ever had to give the Heimlich to
an
adult.
You got in there. You were like one thrust away from breaking a rib, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
the last
time
you hit him pretty damn hard.
Because you were getting him off his feet, which you're supposed to, I imagine. So, yeah, that was quite the...
I can't imagine. It's very comfortable.
No, it probably didn't feel... That's probably why I didn't want to go back to eating right away. Is probably ribs were killing him.
That's true.
You know? But, yeah, that was quite the ordeal. And, good it was dinner and a show, right?
You were just going to be, you said it, good entertainment. That's what you were beginning to say.
Well, on that note, do you have anything else you want to add about the meal besides, we made out pretty good. Like, you had budgeted quite a bit for this meal because this was your treat, right?
Yes.
And it came in under your expectations.
Yeah, it came in under budget, which I was pleasantly surprised.
And no one held back except, like, we didn't all get a bunch of cocktails. We all had one or two. Like, I think Joe had two and everyone else had one drink.
Well,
right,
if I'd have known he was going to be under budget, I might have got another one.
There you go. But we ended up, I definitely didn't hold back on what I ordered. I got the soup. We got sides. I got the steak I wanted. So, yeah, there was no, we didn't get the $125 Australian lobster tail enhancement or anything. But
although you said when you and Mike went to the mall, you saw it, and how good did that look? That was the first thing you did when you came back.
It was like the size of my thigh.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it was like, if you saw a lobster with a tail that big, you would run and hide. Like, that thing would be like the size of your dog.
Really?
That lobster. Yeah, based on the size of the tail. It was enormous. I couldn't believe it. Like, when they say a 2-pound lobster tail, I assume they meant a tail off a 2-pound lobster. No, the tail itself is 2 pounds.
Yeah, it was enormous. And it looked amazing, too.
I couldn't believe
it.
Oh, yeah,
so
it looked
good.
Fantastic.
Would you have paid $10 right there just to have a taste of it?
$10, no doubt about it.
Just a forkful and dip it in butter, you would have paid $10.
I would have paid $5.85 just to smell it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Get up real close to it, maybe get my nose on it just a little bit. Breathe it in.
You know, that's got to be a tough kitchen to work in, don't you think?
Just try to eat everything, right?
Oh, my God. Now, let me ask you this before we go to break. Serious question.
Okay.
As food's coming back, would you eat it?
Like if I worked in the kitchen?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're throwing it out. If there's like a half-eaten T-bone.
It's tough, though, because you see some of the people that go in there.
True.
Like, if you know who got it, like if you look over and it's someone that looks like me or you, and then, yeah, you're probably going to dump that one in the garbage.
That in
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say the same thing. Yeah, if you can like see from the kitchen whose it is, then you know it's a possibility.
Yeah, definitely. If they look clean cut, look like they know what they're, you know, no.
Couldn't you cut the outer edges though, and just put it in a doggy bag and bring it home?
That's true. But a lot of times people like throw their dirty napkin on top of the plate when they're done and things like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Who knows? I mean, there could have been, you know, a dislodged shrimp that ended up.
Yeah, you never know.
What ended up happening to that?
You don't remember? Like the next night when we were drinking, he said that it ended up in his mouth and he just chewed it and swallowed it. He said he didn't have anything to do with it, so he just chewed it up and swallowed it.
Because that's why I moved my steak. I was waiting to get whiplash. I thought I was going to take one on the side of the melon, didn't you?
I was worried about it. I was worried about something else, too, like if you really stir things up.
I was very concerned with what was going to...
Because
the night was just
that.
Beginning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he said...
I mean,
did
they have to move us to a new table?
Right, yeah, definitely would have had to do that. You know, like you said, if Schaefer wasn't there and he had to go to the hospital or something, would you have asked for a doggy bag on the way out?
Yes.
Or, yeah, you wouldn't have rode in the ambulance. You would have just been like, let's just finish this up. We'll get there in time. We'll make our way over to Celebration.
There's really
hospital.
No sense in riding in the ambulance anyways. You're not going to ride you're not going to ride in the back. Mm-hmm. You're going to be up front.
Mm-hmm. So if all
it does is cause the guy that's driving the ambulance, he either feels like a jerk because he's not talking to you at all, or he feels like he has to make small talk with you, which he probably doesn't want to do anyways.
He might have wanted to make small talk with us.
That's true.
Because we would have had the steak with us, we would have offered him some.
If this happens again next year, you're saying that we can just stay and finish our meal? And it wouldn't be insensitive?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I don't know that the chances of this happening again next year are...
We're going to have to get, like, waivers for next year's trip if it goes down again.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. We should actually bring a waiver for him to sign.
Like a pact. Like, if one of us dies, then you're all allowed to finish the meal, play golf the next day.
Yes.
You know, like, we want it to continue.
Continue to stay at the two-bedroom villa.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm glad we could joke. In all seriousness, like, obviously, he ended up being fine, and he's the kind of guy, he doesn't care if we joke about it, but it could have been bad. It could have been a tough situation, and you know, luckily Mike, a trained professional, was there to help me and Mike out that would have had no clue what to do. I would have been like hitting him in the throat or something. I don't know.
Yeah, laying him on the back and giving him like he's having a heart attack.
CPR.
Making it even worse.
Yeah, get the paddles. Clear.
I'm breaking that glass.
Yeah, you take out a fire extinguisher. Like, what's going on? Yeah, we got to cut into him with the steak knife. Get the emergency tracheotomy going on.
That's what I thought you had to do. Schaefer said no.
That was the next step, you know. That was,
yeah, we were
that
close
was the next
to it.
Step. Yeah.
Cut into his neck?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'd have done next step. I probably would have used my knife, too.
Oh, that's nice of you.
So you would know how to do that?
I mean, I do know how to do that, but it's
you,
not...
You don't have to worry about arteries there?
They're usually on either side.
Okay, so
you
go
straight
right
in the middle.
The neck.
You go straight... Yeah, there's landmarks that you find and everything, but it's not something that we do often, and you usually wouldn't do it like in the middle of a restaurant. And it's usually just for like, not always, but it's usually just for like trauma patients. Mm. There's a lot of other steps that you can take before you have to cut into someone's neck to get a good airway for them.
That definitely would have ruined my appetite.
Yeah.
I don't think
I
would have been.
I'd have been fine.
Yeah. That's not going to bother you.
Nope. It takes a lot to ruin
get
my
you.
Appetite. Yeah.
Especially with that steak.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, maybe we should take another break. How's that sound? Well,
let me ask you this. What about the Lyft or the Uber ride back?
That was a good Uber ride back, wasn't it?
You want to talk about that?
Let's talk about that after the break. Back for break. This has been episode number 243 of the Por Favor podcast. We talked about our meal at Shula's and all the other extracurricular activity that went on surrounding it. And then right before break, Mike mentioned that we had an interesting Lyft ride back to Old Key West. So the night before, as we were heading back from Disney Springs to the Clarion, How did that even start? Did I just start spouting nonsense, or was I prompted the first time? I don't even remember.
I think you just started.
I think you just started too.
So I just started talking with 100% total confidence about different things that were going on at Disney and like talking about Imagineering and like shakeups and budgets and things like that, mm-hmm. and just throwing in fake names, Melnick's and Klinsmann's and things like that, and just talking about it. And you guys were cracking up, and I just kept going. And the driver that night spoke no English.
Right.
And we were just being, you know, complete morons and talking about it. So on the way back from Shula's.
Now, how childish is that? The guy doesn't even speak English. And we think that that's hilarious.
Well, it is hilarious. So then the next evening, was it this one or was it the next? Oh, because we didn't take a lift. Yeah.
Yeah, it was when we were leaving Shula's.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, because Joe was in the back saying, how do you guys know all this stuff?
Yeah, that's right. Because
we're trying
we were...
to mess with the driver, and now we got Joe hooked on this.
So we do the same thing. So I'm just sitting in the front, and then those three buffoons are in the back seat, and Schaefer starts talking about, like, Imagineering. He's trying to egg me on, and Mike gets in on it. So, you know, at first I start laughing, so I have to look out the window. And this guy is a complete buffoon, the driver, like a nerd.
Yeah.
Like us.
Yeah.
So we're talking all this stuff, and he starts chiming in, like adding to the conversation. So we're just going on and on about all the
same
kind
of buffoonery. We're talking about budget shortfalls, and he's talking about how much money Disney has.
Yeah.
And
so you know he's going to bring it up on his next ride. He's going to mention it to somebody.
Yeah, he's going to start talking about Bobby Parrish.
Bobby Parrish.
That's right. That's how it ended. I forgot about Bob Parrish.
Yeah,
Eugene Melnick. Guys like that on the Imagineering team and all the shakeups. But we're throwing in some real names in there, you know, in the mix, you know, Bob Iger, things like that. And so we're just talking the whole time, and Joey's in the back seat. He's like, I come here 3 times, like 100 times a year. How do you guys know all these things?
And then, like, the Bob Parrish was when I almost wet my pants because that's it. Joe's like, you even know these guys' names. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
And when we got back, we tried to explain to him, and he still didn't get it because the next morning he was like, you guys know all the names of everybody.
Yeah, that was bad.
And we're like, no, Joe, listen, we made all that up. None of that was true. He's like, oh, you guys are just being idiots? And like, yeah. He's like, oh, all right. That makes me feel a little better.
Then he was like all completely baffled that we could just make all that up right on the spot,
true.
Too.
Yeah. Well, it's taken years and years of being a BS artist to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Bob Parrish.
That evening after Shula's, you guys hung out at the bar, right? The Gurgling Suitcase, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then Schaefer and I went to Disney Springs and did some... Yes. Some gift shopping. We had to bring
Christmas shopping
stuff back for the families, and yeah, that was good. That was a good.
How did your wife like her Figment?
Oh, she liked it a lot. She was a big fan of it. It's on her display case in the bedroom.
The
girls liked their stuff. They were all very big fans. How about
what's this Figment thing that you got?
It's just a figurine. So it's like a you know the Jim Shore figures. They're like wood. They have all different ones. I'll send you a picture of it, but they had a Figment one, which I had never seen. Like, I have a Donald Duck one, just a figure. It's a wooden, you know, like a 6-inch tall wooden carved figure. And now there was a Figment one, and that's Sarah's favorite. So,
where did you end up finding this?
That was in the Art of Disney store. You know, like the one all the way at the front near the Christmas store. They had it in there, so I saw
the one where Scott Campbell spent $36,000.
Yeah, this was a little less than that. The Figment.
Slightly less.
So that was, yeah, that went over well, and then the girls liked their stuff. How about Roxy? Did she like her little charm that you got her?
She did, yeah. She liked that a lot.
That's good.
She got a little a Peter Pan Pandora bead thing, and then that night I also got my youngest Sawyer, like a year and a half. I got him a little Incredibles, the Jack. Plush toy. Yeah, he liked that. So, yeah, it went pretty well. And did we just have just one drink there that night?
Yeah, because they all closed.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Which were very good because they had like the throwback margaritas that were like $9 at the margarita stand.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys had a cocktail there.
Yeah,
of course. Dockside, Dockside Margaritas. It's one of the places that I like margaritas, but it's not like my go-to drink. I usually drink beer, but for some reason, I mean, almost every time I go to Disney Springs, I always end up stopping at that Dockside Margaritas and getting a drink.
Yeah, that's going to be a new stop for me. I've gone by it so many times, I'm like, I'm not going to get a margarita at a stand, but they're pretty good. I mean, it's not like pre-mixed either. They make them there.
Yeah, they're good, yeah. And they have a lot of different options too.
Yeah. And then we were able to find those Chewy Chewies that you were looking for too at the last minute. I came in
clutch
for that.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the Chewbacca Chewies are like a candy, and we got them the last time we were down there. Howard loves them. And so we kind of portion them out so that we can still have some for the whole time that we're gone. And we were looking all over the place for them. We were looking at the World of Disney, which was under construction. And basically, it was pretty much terrible when we were there. I mean, it had like nothing, hardly at all.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
So that's where I got them before. I was looking all around there, couldn't find them. I think we looked at the Star Wars store, didn't find them there. And then, yeah, you found them about 2 minutes before
the Goofy Candy Shop
closed. So we made out pretty well there.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the Rice Krispie treat that you got for your daughter?
Oh, that went over. That was good because I was able to use that as like a bribe, so she would act well. Like if you can have a little bit of your Rice Krispie treat if you eat all your dinner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's perfect.
She was a fan of that. Yeah.
Good.
Everything went well. And what'd you get? Did you get Susie like a piece of gum when you got back, Bill?
No, I got her some stuff. Remember, I was crop dusting again.
That's right. You got her some candies
Magic Kingdom.
At the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. See, that's all part of the, I have to be careful cause Sarah listens to this, but you have to lay the groundwork. You come back with nice gifts and you talk about how much fun you had. And then when you get invited again next year, they have good memories of it too. So it's all about laying the groundwork for the return.
Yeah.
Because Joey can book 7 months out. That comes up pretty quick. So we have to, get these wheels in motion. Well, on that note, maybe we should wrap things up. How's that sound, Bill? You have anything else you want to add here, or are we good to bring it home?
You can bring it home.
All right. Thanks for listening. You can find us online at PorFavorPodcast.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter at PorFavorPodcast. YouTube.com/PorFavorPodcast. You can email the show info@PorFavorPodcast.com. Email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere your podcasts are sold. You should be able to find us by searching Por Favor Podcast. Mike, you want to give your info there?
Yep, I'm Michael Baron Schaefer on Facebook. Like I've said before, if you don't look like a weirdo and you want to be my friend, there's a good chance that I'll be your friend back.
He actually became friends with the Willings on Facebook.
Speaking of weirdos,
I'm sure they'll enjoy that shout out. It's been a little while for the Willings.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think that's about it.
Beautiful. Mike?
You can email me, mike@PorForWarPodcast.com.
All right, that's going to do it for episode number 243 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de las Podcast. For Mike in Michigan, Mike in Florida, my name is Gary. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away.
the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big
beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.